The New Women is basically about women taking over the world.
Come to order, people, please. We've got to have some order.
Sordid lives, a bizarre coming out story coupled with a dysfunctional Texas family.
I sure as hell wouldn't have quit smoking if I had known my sister was going to die.
I come across, I realize, in a very naggy tone, and I justify that in that Singapore is known as a nanny state.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Footlights fade for gay stars on three continents, queer camp and a sci-fi send-up inaugurate out on video, and Singapore's Ho shakes up city-state sensibilities. All that and more this week as we start our 16th year discovering This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending April 5th, 2003. Asia was rocked this week by the death of the man who pioneered its film portrayals of gays, openly gay pop music, and film star Leslie Cheung Kwok Wing. Cheung died in Hong Kong at age 46, apparently a suicide, leaving a note citing depression. TV and radio stations devoted hours to his work, newspapers made his death their top headline, and impromptu tributes of flowers and photos soon filled half the block outside the hotel where he'd been staying. Cheung was supportive of Chinese gay and lesbian activists, including helping to inaugurate an awards ceremony honoring media presentations of lesbian, gay, and trans issues. He's survived by his longtime partner, Daffy Tong. Cheung's music career began with a second-place finish in ATV's 1976 Asian Music Contest. By 1981, he was a star with his international hit album, The Wind Blows On. In 2000, he was honored with a Gold Needle Award from Radio Television Hong Kong for what it called his enormous contribution to Hong Kong's music industry. The news of his death led to a rush of sales of his recordings.
Cheung was better known in the West for his film career, which began in 1978. His 60 films span all the genres and include work with all of Hong Kong's top directors. His breakout role came in John Woo's 1986 A Better Tomorrow. The first of his major gay film roles was in Chen Kai-jae's 1993 historical drama Farewell, My Concubine, which won him top honors at the Cannes Film Festival. It was when Wong Kar-wai's 1997 gay relationship drama Happy Together proved controversial that Cheung first publicly discussed his own sexual orientation. He also played a man who unwittingly falls in love with a cross-dressing woman in the comedy He's a Woman, She's a Man. Another Wong Kar-wai film, Days of Being Wild, brought Cheung Best Actor honors at the 1990 Hong Kong Film Awards. This weekend's Hong Kong Film Awards were quickly reorganized to include a major tribute to Cheung. His final role in Lo Chi-leung's ghost story, Inner Senses, had earned him another Best Actor nomination there.
Nor was Cheung the only significant loss of an openly gay man for the dramatic arts this week. The U.S. mourned openly HIV-positive AIDS activist and character actor Michael Jeter, who died at age 50, apparently of natural causes, although he had been in good health. Jeter is best known for his television work, including his Emmy-winning supporting part in the 1990 sitcom Evening Shade and his role as the other Mr. Noodle on the children's show Sesame Street. But over a career spanning nearly 25 years, Jeter also appeared in a number of major films, including The Fisher King, The Green Mile, and most recently the upcoming The Polar Express, and on the stage where he won a Tony Award in 1990. He's survived by his life partner, Sean Blue.
Australia mourned prolific playwright and screenwriter Nick Enright, who died of melanoma at age 52. His stage script, Blackrock, was chosen Best Play of 1996 by the Australian Writers Guild, and the original screenplay for Lorenzo's Oil earned a 1993 Oscar nomination for Enright with director George Miller. His biggest stage financial success was his musical about Peter Allen, The Boy from Oz, which toured the world. He scored hits on Australian television with the award-winning Come In Spinner and the comedy Daylight Saving. Enright also performed as an actor and director and touched many lives as a teacher at Australia's top acting school, NIDA, the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts, and at the Australian Theatre for Young People.
There was a great leap forward against internet censorship in South Korea as the government's Youth Protection Committee officially dropped homosexuality from its obscenity standards in response to a ruling by Korea's National Human Rights Protection Commission. The 1997 Juvenile Protection Act included statements that homosexuality is harmful and obscene, distribution of homosexual love is illegal, and homosexuality is harmful to youth, all of which the human rights body found to violate constitutional guarantees of equality, freedom of expression, and the pursuit of happiness. The commission cited international trends, and its spokesperson said that there is a growing awareness of the need to regard homosexuality as a normal sexual orientation and to protect the human rights of gays and lesbians. The advocacy groups Kirikiri and the Lesbian Gay Human Rights Federation had petitioned the commission for the ruling, which will open internet access for young people to sites with lesbi-gay content.
But the film of gay Michael Cunningham's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Hours, despite its numerous Oscar nominations and Best Actress win for Nicole Kidman, has had its kisses between women censored in both Malaysia and Singapore. In response to a public outcry, the chair of Singapore's Board of Film Censors, Ng Eng Ping, said in a letter in the Straits Times this week, "Our censorship guidelines are a reflection of community standards. Homosexuality is a sensitive subject in Singapore, and hence has to be treated cautiously." He added that the guidelines do not discriminate between male and female gender intimacy. But he promised that, as society matures in sophistication, the classification standards will be revised to keep pace with social acceptance levels.
Gay and Lesbian Kisses this week celebrated the signing into law of sweeping new anti-discrimination and anti-vilification protections in the Australian state of Queensland. Local couples gathered on the steps of the state parliament building to hug and smooch in what student activist Chris Robb called a peaceful action and demonstration and celebration showing that what the government has delivered to us here is actually the God-given right for us to be able to show our affection. The new law also protects transgenders and extends legal recognition equal to married couples under more than 50 state laws to cohabitants of at least 2 years' standing.
In the U.S. this week, the Hawaii State House of Representatives approved by nearly 5-1 margin the addition of actual or perceived gender identity to the categories protected under the state's hate crimes law, which already included sexual orientation. The Senate had already passed the bill, so it moves now to Governor Linda Lingle, who is expected to sign it into law.
But both houses of Minnesota's state legislature this week approved union contracts with the state's civil servants only after specifically deleting spousal health benefits for same-gender partners. Moves in each house to reinstate those benefits failed, despite emotional pleas from supporters, including openly lesbian state Senator Karen Clark and openly gay state Representative Scott Dibble.
And in a dramatic tie vote broken by Vice Mayor Howard Gentry, Nashville, Tennessee's Metro Council this week rejected a bill to prohibit sexual orientation discrimination in the city's own employment practices. Previously, the council had given landslide preliminary approval to a stronger measure against job discrimination by all local employers. But that bill was withdrawn by its sponsor in the face of powerful religious opposition. That included a threat by the nation's largest denomination, the Southern Baptist, to move its scheduled 2005 national meeting out of Nashville.
A committee appointed by the Archbishop of South Africa's 10-million-member Anglican Church this week issued a preliminary report intended to spur discussion of gay and lesbian marriages, including dialogue with groups outside the church. The committee has been meeting for about 6 months following a synod vote calling for clarification on the issue and a series of South African legal rulings favorable to gay and lesbian couples. The global Anglican Church has a strong position against recognition of gay and lesbian couples. While some African leaders have claimed that homosexuality is a European phenomenon with no place in Africa, the South African Anglican Report acknowledges a history of same-gender marriages on the continent, specifically citing the tradition of the Rain Queen of the Lobedu. South Africa's Lesbian and Gay Equality Project welcomed the report.
But there was no such welcome from Italy's national group, Arcigay, for the glossary published this week by the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. The 900-page tome is officially titled Lexicon on Ambiguous and Colloquial Terms About Family Life and Ethical Questions. Its section on homosexuality and homophobia describes homosexual orientation as rooted in unresolved psychological conflict and labels it a condition without any social value. It calls condom use for HIV prevention an exercise in self-justification. It denounces those who proclaim homosexuality normal, says their allies deny a psychological problem which makes homosexuality against the social fabric, says those who seek recognition of same-gender relationships have profoundly disordered minds, and deplores the stigmatizing of non-gays with allegations of homophobia. In short, as Arcigay's honorary chair, Member of Parliament Franco Grillini, puts it, the Vatican has gone from invective to insults.
And finally, the BBC's award-winning openly gay TV talk show host Graham Norton has been named the UK's worst-dressed man by British GQ. But he also became more quickly accessible to US viewers this week and, as part of the promotion, taped a week of shows in New York City. In anticipation, Norton exclaimed, "I can't wait to get to the Big Apple. I've always been partial to a large fruit."
That's News Wrap for the week ending April 5th, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
How does a gay counterculture rebel survive in stifling Singapore? Find out later in the program. With a new Now and Again feature, This Way Out's Steve Pride previews a couple of queer films that are coming out on video.
The New Women is a black and white sci-fi send-up from Out director Todd Hughes and writer P. David Ebersole.
We are the New Women, working together.
This is Todd Hughes. I'm the writer and director of a new feature film called The New Women, which stars Mary Warnow, Amy Hill, Jenny Shimizu, Cheryl Dunier, and a cast of over 100 women. The New Women is basically about women taking over the world. What we do is set up the sexual politics in a small town where women clearly haven't come a long way, baby. And then a mysterious rainstorm comes along and literally puts everyone in the entire world to sleep. And slowly but surely, the women start waking up, but the men never do. So women sort of have it upon themselves to rebuild society.
Come to order, people, please. We've got to have some order. Ladies, I've got to have some organization here. Now, I want to suggest that we nominate certain women to fill the roles that their husbands played in town. You know, just as figureheads to kind of get things organized for the time being.
Great. Does that mean I get to be a lazy bum while my husband sleeps?
The men do get erections every 45 minutes, which add to the complications. But Mary Warnoff plays this meek housewife who sort of overcomes her low self-esteem and leads a group of women in search of this place called Elysium, which is supposed to be a female utopia they hear about on the radio.
Sordid Lives from Out writer-director Del Shores is a campy, queer, white trash comedy with an incredible cast, including Olivia Newton-John as a lesbian country singer and Leslie Jordan as a Tammy Wynette impersonating drag queen.
Now who's to judge? Who's a saint and who's a sinner?
You're my 27th therapist in the last 3 years.
Lord, it's tough enough to trudge from brunch to dinner.
I'm from the South, Texas, actually.
We seek the light of truth between our white lies.
I was raised rigid Southern Baptist. I'm an actor, and I'm gay.
We sleep away our youth under tattletale skies.
Now you know I've needed 27 therapists.
Who's a sinner and who's a saint? Who's to say who you can love and who you can't?
I'm Del Shores. I'm the director and writer of Sordid Lives, sort of a bizarre coming out story coupled with a dysfunctional Texas family. And lots of little stories, very Altman-esque in that way, that lots of stories come out of an event that happens before the movie starts.
Well, I tell you one thing, I sure as hell wouldn't have quit smoking if I had known my sister was going to die. 3 days now, I am about to die myself.
Peggy Ingram has died this scandalous death. She's this wonderful Baptist woman in town, 70 years old. She's having an affair with Beau Bridges' character, G.W. Nethercott, who has prosthetic legs. They're in a motel room. She gets up to go to the bathroom. She trips on the legs because she didn't turn on a light. She hits her head on the sink and dies of a subdural hematoma. And then all hell breaks loose in the town. Delta Burke plays his wife, who is just humiliated beyond belief, takes a little Valium and gets liquored up and gets a gun.
Betsy, have you ever had an affair with anybody with missing limbs or anything?
Not that I can remember, Juanita.
I once had an affair with a man with only one testicle.
Hi, everyone. I'm Olivia Newton-John, and in this movie, Sordid Lives, I play a white trash country singer called Betsy Mae Harling. And she was a friend of the woman who dies in the movie, and her character is just a lot. Well, you'll see. You'll see.
It's a bitch, so not a sorry little, sorry lives.
Oh.
That's real good, Betsy.
Thank you, Juanita.
Also this month, don't miss two great foreign language films from Strand Releasing. Lan Yu is a moody gay romance, filmed entirely in secret in China. And from Italy comes His Secret Life, a brilliantly nuanced story of a man whose death devastates both a wife and a male lover. These are just a few of the new gay films that are out on video. If you can't find these films locally, they can be ordered from any number of online sources. A few that are gay-owned and operated are StrandREL.com, WolfVideo.com, that's Wolf ending in an E, and TLAVideo.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
I'm coming out.
This is Dorothy Allison, author of Bastard Out of Carolina and numerous trashy pieces. You're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Chris Ho is an outspoken critic who loves to trash his native Singapore, which he argues is a construct, not a country. He's managed to become one of Singapore's most popular celebrities, despite the fact that the rich city-state is also known as a repressed society that likes to stifle political dissent and free speech. Its one-party government keeps a tight rein on the island's 4 million citizens, and sex, let alone being gay or lesbian, is not something that's officially talked about. Yet, Ho has managed to survive as a counterculture pop rebel, singer, and writer who happens to be gay. He's also the author of a new book. With production assistance from Paul Jaffe, This Way Out's Brian Goebel reports from Singapore.
I think there are people who'd like a different voice, an alternative voice, so to speak. And I guess I've become the alternative voice.
Singapore, you are not my country. Singapore, you are not a country at all.
He is a Singapore celebrity, DJ, pop columnist, gadfly, and occasional singer. Chris Ho's counterculture satire and rants against the government, media, and people of Singapore have earned him the title of Singapore's official griper.
I come across, I realize, in a very naggy tone. And I justify that in that Singapore is known as a nanny state to the rest of the world. And we are a nanny state because we pride ourselves with being very paternalistic.
Ho, who's also known as X-Ho, doesn't seem at all like the loudmouth pop culture rebel on the cover of his CDs and books. He did start Singapore's first punk rock band, and he still looks like a punk rocker. His body is covered in a blanket of tattoos, one for each time he visits Thailand, his ultimate destiny. A dance track off his CD, X with an X, Me All Good, No Bad, celebrates his three T's to success, a takeoff on the Prime Minister's three T's to success.
Our PM outlines the three T's for Singapore's future success. Technology, trade, and tribes. The last of these refers to possessing a national identity. I, too, have the three T's for success. Temple, tattoos, and Thailand.
For me, like, even though I'm a DJ and so-called musician as well and a columnist. Everything, it's really from the point of view of being a music fan. I'm not a career as DJ. I'm not a career as writer. Even though I've written two books, and I don't really consider myself like author, you know. It's all pretty rock and roll inspired, if you ask me.
Ho's new book, which is a collection of his essays and columns, is titled Attack of the SM Space Encroachers.
There's a play on the acronym SM. In its actual context of the book, SM means Sung Wei, and that's a local dialect term for sour grape. So it's really a title that says Attack of the Sour Grape Space Encroachers. The first part of the book is primarily about Singaporeans who are space encroachers because they can't wait to elbow their space back. It's almost like getting back on the sly because it's a repressed society, basically.
Would you mind reading a portion of the book for us?
This is a poem I wrote called To Die for One's Country. Am I willing to die for my country? I know what Julie Burchill would say. Yes, I'm more than willing to die for my country, a country where I was born, where I've lived all my life, if just for the inexplicable connection well beyond me, a spiritual bond written in the stars. Yes, I'm willing to die for my country, but not when it's run by the unloving and patronizing, abusing our soul as ass's fuel for absolute power, immoderate control, and the devil's buck, loading our gains like a Nazi death truck anytime a new experiment takes its fancy. To die for such a one is a folly. How does one sacrifice one's life without passion? How to have passion when there's no real love? We're still pining for just 3% of it from above. We're not even children of a one-choice nation. We're pawns in the upgrading empire, in the words of the poet Alfian. Go send your eloquent messengers, the happy and hostage press. But our hearts understand what we get to say much less. Oh, don't forget, we're mouthless, prosperous, well-fed, and free. So why ask that question, unless it's reference to a soldier's duty? The text is clear for all who choose to see. The guilty's masking guilt whilst hiding the key. And by the way, here's a footnote. Come to think of it, Julie won't bother. She'll understand the stupidity of knocking one's head against the wall or speaking to the self-righteously deaf on a big-money mission that will manufacture love if required. Besides, she writes for The Guardian, not The Nanny.
Chris Ho reading from his new book, Attack of the SM Space Encroachers. Ho's written and spoken tirades against the Singapore government are so biting, it's hard to believe his citizenship hasn't been yanked. Singapore's laws have gained worldwide notoriety. Its temporary visa warns in bold red letters that there will be death to all drug traffickers. In the midst of all this repression, however, seems to be a growing tolerance for gays and lesbians. The shopping malls are teeming with gay men. One Asian newspaper even called Singapore Asia's gayest city. I asked Ho what it's like to be a gay Singaporean.
I can be outed. There's no such thing as a gay Singaporean. You know the kind of repression we have in Singapore? You won't believe. Although we have 7 gay saunas now, but to me that's got everything to do with a pink dollar. It's not about acceptance of one's sexuality. So no, I'm not gay to begin with. Can I just say? What's it like? Sorry.
Yeah. What's it like?
I would imagine, I think, pretty tough because it's a very repressive society and you have to watch your back all the time. There used to be a lot of raids. In fact, in the previous book, I wrote a whole chapter about this undercover cop. He arrested this fishball seller for fondling his crotch. And so because of that, I came all out and I told Singaporeans not to touch another Singaporean. You never know if he's undercover.
But Singapore does have a sodomy law, right?
Oh yeah, and not only sodomy law, it's also, oral sex is also a crime, even between heterosexual couples, unless they are legally married. Don't be surprised, it's true, I didn't make this up.
Are you ready for something that's been floating around on the internet? Here are the top 10 reasons why there are no sex scandals in Singapore. Number 10. You can't even be naked in your own home, so how to have sex?
Singapore is all about being able to prosecute you if they want to. That's what it's all about.
The cops are bullies?
No, not the cops. They're just doing their job. I think our big brother is a big bully.
Where are the police? I don't see them.
In that sense, our society is really effective. It's come to a stage whereby I think everything runs on its own accord now, according to how Big Brother envisioned it in the beginning. So everything is running as according to plan. The only little implosions here and there, for instance, one is we don't have future leaders, because all the dynamic people seem to either have run away or they have cowered to the back. Nobody is interested in politics. So we've actually got this new creativity campaign going on to encourage people to be dynamic and creative.
And drum roll, please. The number one reason why there are no sex scandals in Singapore. We are still confused over condoms and condos, leh.
For all his criticisms of the government and people, the artist known as X-Ho might not exist without the Singapore he loves to trash. I asked him if he'd ever consider leaving.
I've also talked about leaving for a long time, so I'm gearing myself up to go one of these days. Like I said on stage a while ago when I read that piece I wrote, I want to be Thai. There's no other option for me but Thailand. There's something about Thailand. It's the culture, in that there are a lot of things about Thailand that's very antithetical to the whole Singapore society. For instance, Thailand thrives on chaos. They find a kind of order through chaos, and we don't trust that kind of chaos. Our society is completely regimented, completely, in every step of the way, from how many kids you have to the number of bottles of liquor you can bring in from the airport. Everything is regimented. In that sense, we're the complete opposite. So it's pretty understandable that a lot of Singaporeans actually look to Thailand as their escape. Thailand is like the Mexico to Americans, you know. Chaos. But fun.
I, too, have the three T's for success. Temple, tattoos, and Thailand.
For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in Singapore.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Dean Alzinga, Graham Underhill, Fenceberry, Rex Wagner, Steve Pride, and Brian Gobo contributed program material. Thanks also to Paul Jaffe. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WHRW Binghamton, New York, 2BLU Katoomba, New South Wales, KBOO Portland, Oregon, and more than 135 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we'll continue to stay tuned.